Counterspin Media's Truthathon Part 7, Fluoride Toxicity with William Bissett and biological and holistic dentist Dave Walsh.
Counterspin Media is unveiling the Great Awakening and resisting the Great Reset in this 12-hour Truthathon titled Conquering Darkness, heralding humanity's triumph over the New World Order.
Now you must know, things are very wrong right now.
That's great. Thanks, Hannah and Calvin. And what a great day it's been so far. A lot of interesting interviews. And talking about interesting interviews, I've invited a biological and holistic dentist, Dr. Dave Walsh. Thank you very much for coming in. And what I want to talk to you about is this topic of fluoridation in the water. There's a lot of dentists saying it's only tiny little bits of fluoride. It's good for the teeth. No worries. As a dentist, what's your perspective on fluoride?
Fluoride itself, I'll back up a little bit and say that fluoride does help remineralize teeth. So there is evidence there that it is protective. What I like to say to people, if I was a tooth walking around in the world, I would have a fluoride shower every morning and then walk through the acid bath that is life. But if we go a little bit upstream, get outside the box a little bit and look at fluoride itself, there are many, many, many studies out there relating to fluoride toxicity. And I'll be the first guy to say that the fluoride dose given to some of these poor laboratory animals and that generated these toxic responses. And it's the toxicity is neural, it affects nerve transmission, neurotransmitters. It can threaten the thyroid because fluoride mimics iodine, which is required by every cell in the body except for blood cells. We've now discovered that there are iodine receptors everywhere in the body. We don't know what iodine does everywhere, but if there's a receptor, which is the way a cell receives information from a hormone, then it must be doing something. And what fluoride does in the body, along with chloride and bromide, is it tends to threaten these receptors, tends to decrease the body's ability to communicate with iodine. And again, I'm not a biochemist, I'm not a physiologist. This is just my reading as a dentist, and because fluoride affects my practice. Topical fluoride painted on a tooth or in selective cases in a toothpaste, yeah, if you're not going to change your lifestyle, if you're prone to decay, it is protective. So fluoride has its place in dental practice, and unfortunately in modern society, because of where we've come to with our diet and our lifestyle and processed food, all this. So I'll definitely agree that fluoride has its place. Do I think it should be in the water supply and consumed by everybody in the country? No. I think that's ill-advised. There is a wee bit of evidence out there that fluoride taken systemically creates protective enamel, and that's true. If you have fluoride systemically when the teeth are developing, then instead of hydroxyapatite forming in the enamel of the tooth, what forms is fluorapatite, which is more protective against decay, again, because of the modern world. But fluoride toxicity, it's a mitochondrial toxin, I was getting into that. It's a neurotoxin. It tends to accumulate in nerve tissue. So when we say that 2 parts per million in the water supply isn't going to do anything, it's not going to do anything that we can measure at the moment with our current knowledge. And I'm evidence-based, I practice evidence-based dentistry. But if I put on my holistic human hat and say, do we know everything there is to know about the consumption 24/7 and bathing in 24/7 of fluoridated or indeed chlorinated water? We don't. And I think that toxicity to anything, be it fluoride or pick one, isn't binary. It's not, you're not either toxic or not. If it's a toxic material and you have a little bit of it, then that's a little bit of a toxin. So I think it's probably ill-advised to have a little bit of a toxin in your body all the time. Most countries, I knew the number, but I think it's over 90 or 98% of countries in the world are no longer fluoridated. And an awful lot of countries are actively taking fluoride out of the water because of this fear of toxicity. And I can cite you 60 plus studies, which I won't at the moment, but they're available online, where the IQ, I just make sure I say this properly, there were two groups. I think they were Japanese studies, and they took fluoridated communities, non-fluoridated communities, and looked at the IQ of infants and children born of mothers who were in fluoridated communities. And I think it was a 6-point difference between these two groups of kids. And so it's hard to draw a line and say, all right, fluoride is causing this. But again, it's correlative. It's not causative. It's correlation. But there's some pretty clear correlations out there that is not good for you. That being said, it's a fact of modern society that decay is a problem, caries is a problem. And so if we're not going to look at the other causes, if we're not going to look at sugar consumption and easily digested, carbohydrates being consumed with every meal and frequency of eating and all these other things, then there's an argument for it. But I, as a holistic human, maybe not a dentist, but as somebody who's trying to be as healthy as I can in the world, I would hesitate to drink it every day.
Well, I guess it's punishing those that do look after their teeth, isn't it? Because the whole idea of fluoridation is, they say to help with teeth. But this teeth degenerative teeth condition is a result of lifestyle. And so why should I be punished for their lifestyle?
Yeah, and also you need to realize that once teeth are developed and in the mouth form, the enamel's there, drinking fluoride isn't going to change that. And so if we're going to give people systemic fluoride, I'd almost prefer to give kids fluoride tablets from age, say, 4 or 5 up to about age 12, which is when the enamel of the permanent teeth is being formed. There's an argument for that fluorapatite development. But before that and after that, to continually consume fluoride, I think is probably not the right way to go.
Yeah, it would be better to, would you prefer an educational program that based around looking after your teeth instead of medicating everybody?
Of course. That's a no-brainer. It's hard to do because of the chip racks and the chocolate bars and the high fructose corn syrup and the energy drinks and the white loaves of bread and the floury foods that we're drowning in modern society. It's pretty hard to say to somebody, don't eat the sandwich. Have the meat that's in the sandwich, but, put the bread in the bin.
Because a lot of these foods are, they're dislocating the microbiome in the teeth. Can you go further into that, please?
Yeah, well, the microbiome is an ecosystem within our mouth. It's everywhere in the body. It's even in the brain. We know the brain has a microbiome. And the microbiome is protective if it's the microbiome that we evolved with over millions and millions of years, because our mouth is their home. And so while we evolved just to survive in the jungles, they've evolved to survive in the mouth. And so a healthy evolutionary, what would be the word, primal support keeps coming to mind, what we evolved with is protective. And you can shift your microbiome back to a protective microbiome, but again, it's hard to do in modern society. As soon as you start eating these grains and carbs and emulsifiers and food additives and titanium dioxide and whiteners, and this shifts the oral environment from a biologically historic one to one that it's new to nature. And so, of course, the microbiome is going to be new to nature, and it's not going to be one that's protecting the teeth or the gums or the mouth.
Oral health, it's now proven categorically of the correlation between oral health and disease.
Absolutely, okay. 100%.
It's been correlated with heart disease, cancer, basically disease. Will fluoridating the water prevent the diseases that the oral health poses?
No. What fluoridating the water will do, if we bring it down to the minutiae of fluoride and the oral connection to human disease, if I take away, just erase decay and so on, fluoride is also a low-level antibiotic. And so if you've got fluoride in the water, that means you've got fluoride in your saliva, you've got fluoride in your mouth. One of the things, the myriad of things that the oral microbiome does, is it helps with the production of nitric oxide. So I'll go down that rabbit hole a wee bit. Nitric oxide is a gas that exists in the body. It's got a half-life of about 1.5 seconds. It's what we call a signaling molecule. So it communicates to the body to do something, different things in different organs. One of the things it does systemically or through the whole body is cause relaxation of smooth muscle. Smooth muscle is in arteries, blood vessels throughout the body. So nitric oxide helps control blood pressure. One of the fascinating things about nitric oxide is it's stored in the body as nitrites. I won't get into the biochemistry, but you know, if somebody wants to ring me, they can. Nitrites are stored in almost all tissue in the body, and then the body converts it to nitric oxide on request by a hormone called nitric oxide synthase. Back up the clock a wee bit, and we've all heard about nitrates in diet. Bacon and leafy greens and beets all have high nitrates. So you eat your nitrates, you swallow your nitrates, which is one electron different from nitrite. What the body does is it concentrates those nitrates into the salivary glands. The saliva then squirted into the mouth continuously is high in nitrate. It's the oral bacteria that reduce that. Reduction means removal of an electron, reduce that to nitrite, which we then swallow. So if we go way, way, way upstream, if we've got fluoride or any antibacterial mouthwash, silver fillings, anything that harms or disrupts the thriving primal microbiome that we want, that decreases the body's ability to generate this nitric oxide, and you get an increase in blood pressure. There is one fascinating study done, which I can't quote, but it was in the, out of the States. I won't even say, it was like, I think it was Idaho, I can't remember. It was a few years back, about 2 years ago. They took a bunch of healthy uni students, so 25-year-old-ish, and split them into two groups, changed nothing in their lifestyle, except they gave one group mouthwash twice a day, one group none. Within a week, the mouthwash group blood pressure had increased by something like 4 or 5 or 6 points, which is huge. They then flipped them, and exactly the same thing happened. As soon as they went off the mouthwash, within that same amount of time, the blood pressure came down and the other group blood pressure went up. So as soon as you disrupt the microbiome by fluoride amongst other many, many, many variables, you increase your risk for cardiovascular disease, which of course, over long term, high blood pressure over years and years and years is hugely pathogenic.
So it'd be fair to say, I guess then, that fluoridating your water has the potential to influence the dislocation of the microbiome, therefore dislocates the production of nitric oxide, therefore can cause, you know, more duress in your blood, your heart, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair comment. It's probably a very small factor in the world that we
live in. But it's cumulative.
It's cumulative, it is a negative.
A drop of water is not going to hurt anybody, but after a period of many years, it'll bore a hole in the concrete.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is cumulative, and it's a negative on the health spectrum, is the best way to put it. Whether it's a profound, oh my God, I'm going to die because I got fluoride in my water, that's not true. Is it helping you systemically? No. Is it causing harm systemically? Probably, based on the science that we have now. Does it justify helping, you know, protecting the teeth? Well, we've talked about that. You know, let's look at some other variables.
So why is it that so many dentists are for the fluoridation in the water, do you think?
Because, if I go back to the analogy, I'm just a tooth. Just a tooth. Fluoride's great.
Right.
But I'm not just a tooth. It does protect teeth from decay. I mean, that's proven. Fluoride does remineralize the surface of teeth. So fluoride in the saliva will make the teeth stronger. My argument is that there are other healthier ways to have the same efficacy with the teeth. And then you're removing any potential problems systemically with fluoride.
If I had a $5,000 credit card debt, I can definitely pay that debt off by using my other credit card. I'm still sort of stuck with the debt. And so although the fluoride may indeed help remineralize, there's a cost-benefit ratio involved with it. Would that be a fair comment?
Yeah, very fair comment. Exactly right. You got to look at cost risk to benefit, and the benefit's there. And then we say, right, if there was no other alternative, if the only food on the shelf had barcodes, we were forced to eat that way, and we weren't allowed to change our lifestyle. We had to eat every 2 hours. We didn't know how to brush our teeth. All these variables, other factors were given, which is what society kind of is at the moment, to be honest. Then it probably has a place topically. Put it on where it's doing the good. Don't drink it. Don't drink it.
So given the potential dangers of fluoride, is there another option for your teeth?
Oh, of course, yeah. Nature's mineral, or enamel's natural mineral, is something called hydroxyapatite. It's in our saliva. It's in our enamel. It's in the interface between the saliva and the enamel. And some of the protective bacteria actively remineralize our teeth with hydroxyapatite. And what's coming on the market now are hydroxyapatite-based toothpastes and mouthwashes, which are great. There's microhydroxyapatite and nanohydroxyapatite, nano being almost nature's own. And so as these things are becoming additives, again, this is topical, I'm not talking systemic, but in terms of trying to replace your fluoride toothpaste with something. So have a look on the internet for hydroxyapatite-based toothpaste. Watch out, again, for emulsifiers and fillers and colors and all those sorts of things. There's one out of the States called FIG, which is Feed Your Good Guys, F-Y-G-G, which has been recently developed by one of my Hillstate colleagues in the States. That should be available worldwide, I would imagine. He's a pretty proactive dude. And interestingly, you've got to mix it in the tube because it doesn't have emulsifiers in it. So it's hydroxyapatite-based and probiotic-based. But you've got to stir it up before you use it every time. So there are ways and means, but again, it's hard. And if you're looking for a panacea to fix a society, you want a real simple fix. I still think, with all the variables involved, I feel that fluoridating the water supply is probably not the best solution.
Mm. I see I'm running out of time, so thank you very much for coming in and
speaking
with us. And we'll cut back to you, Hannah and Calvin.
Keep checking back on counterspinmedia.com and look under the videos tab for more videos from the Conquering Darkness Truthathon.
Counterspinmedia.com, where lies come to die.